Love music. Live sport. The Lineout with Lewis Stewart on Rock Sport Radio.
Good evening. Wednesday night, Rock Sport Radio. That means it's time for an hour of rugby with me, Lewis Stewart, and this week's edition of The Lineout. Time to have a look, I think, at the developments that have been going on in the Scotland team this week. And I must admit, I'm kind of struggling to know where to start all of this. The game last week out in France was one that I prefer to forget all about, but there is no chance that I can do that with the pressure really on ahead of the Rugby World Cup. On the other hand, I do quite want to have a look at the game coming up this weekend as well. As you'll hear in the later on in the programme, the chat this week has been all about the bounce back ability of the side. The changing room conversation has been talking about things like how New Zealand managed to give away a record number of points to Australia in Perth a couple of weeks ago and then came back to beat them 31-0 at the weekend. How Wales basically didn't turn up for the first hour against England at Twickenham a couple of weeks ago and then last weekend bounced back to stop England scoring a single try as they won the game 13-6, very much the same manner that they employed in winning their Grand Slam in the Six Nations. And of course they look back at it not just at the way that they bounced back from the first half down at Twickenham to produce that remarkable second half performance in the spring, but also they look back at the year before and the way that they played absolutely dreadfully in Wales and then bounced back to beat France the following week. And of course, by pure coincidence, it is of course France who are going to be here at Murrayfield this weekend, which is all well and good. And this afternoon, Gregor Townsend did announce his squad for that game with 14 changes in personnel for the return match. France, however, have also named their side and they have kept changes, done the opposite, and kept changes to a minimum. There are only four of them, including a recall from Gilles Girardot, who comes back as captain. Arthur Iturier comes back at a flanker, and Thomas Ramos, who came off the bench last week, slots in at fullback to replace Medar, who scored two of the tries against Scotland out in Nice. The other change is Felix Lombe comes into the starting team after the six-week ban handed down to Paul Garouleg for his act of thuggery on John Barkley. Scotland, as I said, 14 changes. The only person who's kept his place in the side is Stuart Hogg, who obviously slots in at fullback, as you would expect, having come off at Nice after about an hour, or less than an hour, with cramp. It was very difficult conditions, not just hot and humid, but the pitch was awful, cutting up, soft as anything, and the sort of thing that does produce cramping problems. Although those of you with a longer memory will also recall that Stuart did have similar problems 4 years ago during the last World Cup. Hope it's not a return to that. The back division is pretty much all experience. You have got, of the seven players in the back division, six of them are in the 40-plus cap mark. You've got Tommy Seymour and Sean Maitland on the wing, Peter Horn, one of the centres, and the only relative newcomer in the back division is Chris Harris, who is given a chance to show what he can do at outside centre. Of course, Chris has only started two previous games, didn't do particularly well in either of them, needs a big match in this one if he is going to have any hope at all of getting on that plane to Japan. Finn Russell and Greg Laidlaw come back at half-back. Interestingly enough, that puts them level with Gary Armstrong and Craig Chalmers as the second most cap halfback pairing ahead of Greg's uncle Roy Laidlaw and John Rutherford, who hold the record, but another three games for those two together and they will and Greg and his uncle can go and match halfback partnerships together on 35, I think, from memory. Anyway, forwards, we have Gordon Reid, George Turner, Willem Nel, Scott Cummings and Sam Skinner. Scott Cummings, his first start for Scotland after coming off the bench last week. Sam Skinner getting another run at lock, which he reckons is his best position. Ryan Wilson comes in, Hamish Watson as expected, alongside Blade Thompson, who gets his first cap at number 8. And the only real surprise, I think, in that back row is that Ryan Wilson starts on the flank and Blade Thompson at number 8. I had rather expected them to be the other way round, although I suspect that when we get to the game itself, that those numbers are going to be pretty much irrelevant. That both of them are going to play chop and change and play in both positions. The problem with Scotland, though, is that they have been here before. They've done this in the past. They've had a lousy away game. And even if they play well against France, it doesn't change the dynamics of this problem they have of playing away from home. And do remember that the end product of all of this is that they're going to have to turn on the goods against Japan in Japan. Away game that is going to be really, really hard for them, because they're going to be in a position where it's a game they almost certainly have to win, whether it is, even if they beat Ireland, they're going to have to win that one to top the pool. If they lose to Ireland, as most people expect, then they're going to need to win that one almost certainly to come second in the pool. It's going to be difficult conditions because it's going to be hot and humid, just like it was in Nice the other night. And you can guarantee that the Japanese crowds are going to turn up in huge numbers, 55,000 odds in Yokohama, yelling on their team. And if Scotland can't perform away, that is going to be a major change for him. So when we got hold of Gregor Townsend earlier on today, the first question for him was undoubtedly about his selection and whether it had always been his plan to make as many changes as he did.
I think it was actually going to be 15 changes at one stage, but we decided, seeing that Stuart Hogg left the field early with cramp, that he could do with another game. He was looking pretty sharp and he was very keen to play. But the plan over the first 2 weeks was to play the majority of the squad, give them game time, put two teams out we believed were strong enough to win test matches. Obviously that wasn't the case last week, and now it's up to this group of players to rectify that on Saturday. We've reflected a lot on the build-up to the game, the week's training, the day itself, what we could have done differently as coaches, the fact that France played really well. We'd focused a lot on ourselves going into the build-up. Normal test matches, we probably look at the opposition 20-30%, ourselves 70-80%. In this case, it was a lot about our game. And we obviously weren't able to impose our game in attack or defence. So it has narrowed our minds. It's a painful lesson for players, for coaches, that we have to do much better in the build-up. We have to deliver a much better performance in the game.
Gregor Townsend, the Scotland head coach, looking forward to a reaction from his players when they play France again this weekend after their failure out in Nice last weekend when they got trounced by 32-3. But this is a different group. He has made 14 changes, remember, to the side that played last weekend. So does he expect that is still going to produce the same sort of drive for a reaction that would have been the case if it had been the same players in both games?
We've seen that with how they've reacted in training, how they've reacted in their meetings, the focus, the edge, compared to last week, has certainly been present in training. It's obviously a different group of players, but they feel as hurt as the team that went out at the weekend did. So we'll see a better performance, and it'll have to be a lot better because France are in great shape and they've picked a stronger team this weekend. There's a determination, a disappointment, a determination that we'll do better.
Gregor Townsend, still an optimistic mood ahead of the return match, but when you look at it like that, what has to change and what has changed? Townsend again.
Yes, as coaches, we look at, first of all, ourselves on how we got the players in a situation where we weren't delivering our best performance, and attack and defence were disappointing at the weekend. So myself, I'm in charge of the attack, I'm the head coach, so the responsibility lies with me, and I know Matt was disappointed with how we defended. We've put a big emphasis on our defence over the last couple of months, and we've seen big improvements in training. We just didn't get the transfer into games. Every game's different. We referenced a game in the change room where we missed a performance, which was Wales a year ago, and we turned around in a week with a very good performance against France, the same opponents that are coming to BT Murrayfield on Saturday. So the players have an opportunity to improve. It is a different group of players, but we learn as a group, and you learn a lot more when you lose. You learn exactly where you didn't get things right. And for a lot of the weekend, it was our mindset going into a test match of how tough this is going to be away from home, how good a team France can be if you let them play, and how we have to have our standards as high as possible every time we play.
Gregor Townsend, the Scotland head coach, reflecting on the change in mindset that he is expecting from his players this weekend as they prepare to play France at Murrayfield. But as we've already said, there are also going to be a huge number of changes in personnel, 14 in all, one of which is particularly interesting, the arrival at long last of Blade Thompson into the starting 15 for his first cap. Blade is a New Zealander, Scots qualified obviously, who plays his rugby down at the Scarlets in Wales and has been drafted into the team pretty much at the first opportunity that he has been fit. So what is Gregor Townsend expecting from him, and can he produce the sort of performance that will address that physicality issue?
He can be, or the whole 15 can be. It's going to be right throughout the squad of us fronting up in the physical areas. So that's when we tackle, when we clear contact, and when we carry ball. And we weren't at the standards last week. So we get an opportunity to do that this weekend.
Blade obviously on camp, Scott Cummings his first start. What have they done to convince you they have got this opportunity?
Well, they convinced us a while ago, and that's why they were in the squad. And we've been waiting to give them an opportunity in these first two games. So Blade, we did look at starting last week, but just where he was in terms of training, he's trained really well, and we feel he's ready to play now. Scott gets a chance to go again. Johnny Gray's missing. He had a hamstring tweak last week, so Johnny would have played in this game, but it's now an opportunity for Scott to show what he showed off the bench. Which was really good athleticism, took the game to the opposition in his defence. Now he's got the opportunity to do it from the start.
You've got the likes of Dinner and Blade in there. How much are you looking for the people like that to lead the physical drive that was missing out in front?
Well, the physical drive is usually led by the players in the front five, in the back row. It has to be right across the team because France have got a physical back line too. And the players know that. The players know that that's what should happen every time they play, every time they play for Scotland. And if last week was a reminder to us all that if you don't do that, you're going to come on the back of a big loss, then we don't need another reminder. So we've seen that in training, we've seen the talk, we know these players well. So we're looking forward to seeing what they do at the weekend.
Gregor Townsend referring to the couple of new boys that are in what is, particularly in the back division, a pretty experienced side. Only one of the backs, Chris Harris, hasn't got more than 40 caps, so they certainly can't claim a lack of experience in that department. But for all of them, including those really experienced backs, presumably this is something close to last chance saloon.
Well, yes, because we've got a group of 40 players and we've got one more game after Saturday. So we select our squad 2 days after that. So it's logic that not everyone's going to get a chance to play. The plan would be to look at those last two games and see where we are in terms of match practice, injuries. But we want to be playing the players that are going to Japan in at least one of those games, and yes, one of them should be a stronger 15. But this is a strong 15 at the weekend, and we have hopefully a couple of guys coming back for those last two games that are currently out injured.
Gregor Townsend finishing off that little patch there about what could happen this weekend, what he hopes will happen this weekend. Talking a bit about Blade Thompson, what he hopes he will bring. Of course, Blade Thompson, just reminding people who may need a little memory jog, that he was the player who was supposed to have played last November, but wasn't released by the Scarlets on the weekend that Wales played Scotland down at the Principality Stadium in Cardiff. Came up to Edinburgh playing for the Scarlets instead, got knocked out and didn't play again until the last match of the season after getting concussed and having one of these difficult ones. And that's an issue I'm going to come back to later on in the programme. But at the moment, I'm looking at the game last weekend and the reaction to it this weekend. And one of the big problems was undoubtedly the way that the defence didn't operate at all. There were 33 missed tackles, and I must admit, I am struggling to think of any properly dominant tackles at any stage during the match. It is the dominant tackles, I mean the kind of tackles that get the team on the front foot, knock the players backwards, give your guys a chance of going for the ball. There were a couple of turnovers, but they weren't from that kind of a tackle. It was much more effective jackling coming in. So that means there are undoubtedly questions for the defence coach, Matt Taylor. So we asked him about his reaction after having a chance to review the game.
Performance wasn't anywhere near where it needed to be. We were really disappointed on reflection. We didn't front up like we should have. In a test match against France, we know how good they are, and particularly away from home, and we've kind of had a good look at the game, and we're all really disappointed with where we are. We've got opportunity now to turn that around. We put a lot of time and effort into it, and that wasn't the performance that that we expected from the group or ourselves, me included, or our supporters. So I think the great thing, we spoke a little bit about it and we used two examples from World Rugby. We used the New Zealand example when they got beaten by 46 points by Australia, and the next week they turned it around and it was a nil result. And you take the England-Wales game, that was very similar in regards to, I think England might have put 33 points on Wales and they turned the next week, it was 6 points. So that's what we've got to do. We've got the opportunity now to turn up in front of our crowd and make sure we right the wrongs of last week. It's a little bit about making sure that we have the aggression and the attitude first and foremost, particularly away from home, and I'll take that upon myself that I didn't kind of get the boys pumped up maybe like we should. I think these warm-up games, we've kind of focused a lot on ourselves rather maybe than the opposition, and on reflection, maybe we should have kind of poked and prodded and fired up the boys a little bit more than what we did. So so that in reflection, we should have done that a bit more. System-wise, we've still got to make sure that under stress and duress that the guys are sticking to systems, and we did that in parts and other parts we didn't. I think the biggest thing that unfortunately was that we lost collisions. Now, they're French are a big side. If you don't get up, you don't knock them over, the next phase becomes harder and harder, and we didn't do that. The first phase, they were making metres, they were getting over. The second phase, we were doing the offloading. So you go from halfway to your own 22 within two or three phases, and that's not what we're all about, unfortunately, but that's what transpired. I'll focus on the area which I'm involved in and defensively, and that's the area where we've got to front up. All the best teams in the world, whether they win competitions, are the best teams defensively, and we didn't show that on the weekend. And I'm probably the most gutted out of anyone in the team or probably in the country, you know, because that's my job to make sure that we do that, and we didn't do that. So I made it pretty clear that, you know, we fell way below the standards, including myself, and I'll take that on the chin, and I need to make sure that the boys are up for this weekend.
So what do you think you have got the problem
push
the players to get that level of intensity that you need in a game like that against a team like France?
Listen, I think you've got to take every situation as it is. Sometimes, listen, there's been all different results for me. Sometimes, as a defence coach, I'll sit back and I feel, listen, we've covered what we've needed covered, and they've gone and done a really good job. Other times, they haven't. So I think on reflection, maybe away from home, we'd done a lot of work on our defence, on everything, and I think we just left up to the players to maybe get themselves in the right framework and maybe, you know, warm-up games, maybe a nice place like Nice. We just assumed that that level of intensity was going to be there, and it wasn't. So,
did you know that the final game of the pool stage was going to be against Japan in Japan, and you still got this sort of problem away from home?
Yeah, well, listen, I think if you take the Australian game and the Argentinian game away from home, we did well there. I think some of the Six Nations opponents we haven't done so well. So Japan's not in that Six Nations group. So listen, we know that. We've got... I agree with you. I think what we talked about today was ensuring that we front up against France on the weekend. We've got a great opportunity to put in a performance that our supporters are proud of. We also briefly spoke about Georgia and Japan and saying Georgia game over there is going to be extremely tough opposition. It's going to be hot. It's going to be the first time a Tier 1 nation turns up to them. They're going to be pumped up. They're the type of games that we as Scotland should be saying, right, let's puff our chests out, let's go there and let's dominate these oppositions. And that's what I've said to them, and the boys agree with it. So I think we get through this first game this week, and then we get a chance to front up against a good opposition in Georgia away. And then I suppose the next kind of away game is a little bit like Japan, in a sense that there'll be a lot of their supporters there. The other nations, it's... you wouldn't say it's a away game for both of them, so it's not that type of game.
Matt Taylor reflecting on what Scotland need to do, not just to win this weekend against France, but also to win a couple of away games, starting out in Georgia a week on Saturday, and then, of course, the big one against Japan in October in the World Cup, which is going to be an interesting experience. Of course, from the players' point of view, the problem was that the players who are out on the pitch this time were really not involved last time. But for one or two of them, like George Turner, who was starting at hooker, he was part of the group. He came off the bench for about the last quarter of an hour or so, and so didn't really have a chance to influence the game. And then, of course, had to go through the various pain of that changing room atmosphere afterwards, with everybody really gutted about the way they had played. So when we spoke to him, the question was obviously about how that mood in the change room could be translated into performances this week with a new group.
It's obviously a bit stressful time for the players, especially after a performance like that. But you know, if you play like that, you got to kind of pick up in training, kind of get the feedback, take on the chin, and just, you know, try and get back in. But you know, there might be some players who might not get another chance, and you know, they'll have to deal with that. Kind of the focus after the game is more just, you know, like the players feel those losses more than, you know, most of all. And it's kind of tough one to take, especially because the boys got new caps and they performed really well, and they obviously, you know, a bittersweet kind of day. But yeah, obviously, boys are pretty good.
George Turner reflecting on the mood in the changing room after the game, but undoubtedly one of the big problems, as Matt Taylor highlighted, was defence. Did he have an explanation?
Yeah, obviously there's a lot to defence. There's just, you know, the technique and tackle itself, but it's kind of willingness and work rate to get set first, and then, you know, like I said, like, huge part of it's just your attitude, like wanting to make the tackle, wanting to make up, get up and make the hits. And perhaps maybe the focus was a bit more on structure and connection, stuff like that, and not enough, and which you need to bring to obviously a real physical French side. For me, like, defenders is like a big personal kind of thing. Like I relish that chance. You know, obviously there you want to shut up the crowd, you want to, you know, it feeds you. You want to do it. So I think towards the end, we kind of defence did pick up a bit. You know, boys were like, "Well, we've let in a few tries. We've got to step it up." But I don't know. Not for me. I like getting up for.
George Turner reflecting on the inadequacies of the game in France. What does he expect to change this week then?
I'm just kind of do the same. I'll try. Hopefully, get more game time, and then perform. Obviously, a huge, you know, focus on physicality. This time it's probably a strength of my game, so hopefully I can bring it out and let it show. So yeah, I just want to get on. I want to get on a bit earlier, but I think there's a couple of injuries at back row and they're kind of struggling, so they're kind of seeing maybe might have to cover back row. But you know, I just got on. I just want to play, just get stuck in straight away. I've not played for a while, obviously. I missed the last few months of the season, so I just want to play and kind of get going again.
Can you take any positives from the fact that you did finish much stronger than you played for most of the game, even in the last 20 minutes or so, you were more on top.
It's a tough one to take. We kind of reviewed and looked at it. Obviously, not the best start, but you know, you get a lot of learnings to take from it. And I guess it is a positive that we finished slightly stronger and we did look like scoring, but we didn't score towards the end. We had a few mauls that didn't quite come up, so obviously really disappointing. But it's good to be finished stronger.
George Turner there on how Scotland can bounce back this weekend against France and his feelings ahead of that one. I'm going for a quick ad break. Going to be back with a little special treat for you. The thoughts of one Kelly Brown, former Scotland captain.
Thursdays at 8 p.m. F1, Rally, Formula E, Touring Cars and MotoGP. The motorsport season is well and truly underway and Rock Sport Radio is already spinning wheels and burning rubber. Andy Alston and Adam Todd are on the starting grid every Thursday from 8 p.m. to bring you news and comment on pole position. A petrol head's dream. Try a lap or two with the guys. Pole position on Rock Sport Radio.
Have you ever lost money on an investment? If a high street bank persuaded you to buy a stocks and shares ISA, unit trust or investment bond and you lost money, Goodwin Barrett can help you get back thousands of pounds in compensation. Even if you don't have the investment anymore or the paperwork, Goodwin Barrett make it easy to find out. Text GOOD to 66777. That's GOOD to 66777. You don't need a claims management company to make a complaint, and if unsuccessful, you can refer it free to the Financial Ombudsman.
Do you hear that? That's your family coming round to your new house for Sunday lunch. Your son opening the door of his first home. Visitors arriving at your guest house. Friends coming over to watch the football. Scottish Building Society offer a range of mortgages, so we can turn this into this.
Hello!
Scottish Building Society. We've been helping people open doors since 1848. Call us today on 0345 600 4085. Scottish Building Society is authorised by the Prudential Regulation Authority and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority and the Prudential Regulation Authority.
It's easy to put things off. I'll sort it tomorrow. It'll wait. Well, turns out if you're a man with prostate disease, the sooner you spot it, the better it can often be treated. So if your dad or brother have had prostate cancer, or you're having trouble with your waterworks, do something about it. See your GP or visit prostatescotland.org.uk for more information. Prostate Scotland. Pull your finger out.
Love music. Live sport. The Lineout with Lewis Stewart on Rock Sport Radio.
Welcome back, part two of the programme. And as I said before the break, I have a little treat, I think, for you. That one of the things that is slightly different at the moment with what's going on in the Scotland camp is that they have brought back former captain, former flanker Kelly Brown as an advisor on the breakdown. Now, it's a couple of years since Kelly retired from playing after an illustrious career, first with Glasgow and then with Saracens, with which he won numerous trophies. And he has been in charge of the Saracens, as you will hear in the clip that I've got to play. He has been in charge of the Saracens Academy for a little while now, but he has been back involved with Scotland again, coming in to take sessions on how to address the breakdown and how to get dominance in the way that you go for the ball on the ground. It's a fascinating subject, and Kelly is always good to talk to. So with no more ado, I think it's probably worth starting talking to Kelly about how good it is just to be involved back with Scotland again.
Yeah, it's been absolutely great on a personal level to be back involved. I'm aware, as a coach, I'm a pretty young coach, but I do the Academy at Saracens and I do our A-League team and for the second team, and then a day a week with the seniors on the contact. And so to get to do the Scotland stuff as well, it's a brilliant learning experience, and I feel very, very fortunate to be doing it. But I also feel I can add and I can help, and as I'm not there all of the time, I can maybe see things from a slightly different perspective.
I can imagine that that probably helps quite a lot, that you're not embedded in the squad in the way that some of the people are. So you can come in and you can see things that possibly people may have missed when they're seeing it all the time every day.
Yeah, I think so. And I think as well, because I think Scotland and Saracens are very similar in terms of cultures. I see a lot of similarities, a lot of crossover between the two, but I think in terms of playing philosophy and the style of play is very different. And so I just try and add as and where I can, but also learn off the Scotland coaches, because I'm aware, you know, there's not a one size fits all, and it's the style of play that suits whichever team you're in.
Absolutely. But from your point of view, presumably you're looking at mostly at the breakdown and the contact,
yeah,
and all of that.
Yeah.
Something was obviously your speciality as a player. What do you think you've been able to bring to it that is slightly different from what's already inside the squad?
Yeah, I think there are obviously various little drills and all that sort of stuff. I think at times it's just a different voice. So having a different voice in the environment, having a different coach coaching the players, I think is good. I think it invigorates players. I think it's good to have different coaches. But also I've got as it's my sole focus, I can really study it. Whereas the other coaches, so in terms of the attacking contact, it's Danny Wilson, but he's also the forwards coach. So he's doing the two things, whereas I can focus solely on the attacking breakdown. And the same in defence. You know, so Matt Taylor, he does all of the work on the jackals and ultimately trying to force turnovers, but he's also looking at the defence as a whole. So I think it's good that I'm just there solely to focus on these two key areas, because there are so many contacts in the game now, and so the breakdown is a vitally important part of it.
Absolutely. It doesn't help that you were involved yourself so recently. So it's what about 18 months or so since you retired as a player, so I mean, you're obviously you're up to date with all the latest trends, you know, from a playing side of it.
Yeah, exactly. And well, this summer actually it's 2 years since I finished playing, but I'm still sort of fairly recently out. But also, I've done a lot of study on it because I'm as I said, so this year at Saracens, I'm also coaching the contact. So with the first a day a week, and so it's very much something I am focusing on, and something I am studying at Saracens and at Scotland.
And how does it work with people like Johnny Barclay, who obviously you played with in that killer B back row for so long? You know, does he listen to you, or do you have to shout at him a bit?
He's been great. It's obviously. He, as a few other guys, you know, they're mates, but they also understand that in sport, you know, players move into coaching, and all of the players have been very, very respectful of me. They listen and they value what I've got to say. So the players have been absolutely fantastic in that.
And looking at the team itself, I mean, obviously you watched the game last weekend. How much of it did you have your head in your hands?
It was obviously not what any of us were hoping for. I know the players were absolutely gutted, and the coaches are feeling exactly the same. We didn't play anywhere near where we can play. Our attack didn't fire. Our defence wasn't up to the standards that we've been showing in training. So we know that we need to improve, and we need to improve pretty quickly. But if you look at some of the other international matches, so the All Blacks did it, and they came back from a record points conceded to beating Australia. Wales did it, and so they conceded quite a number of tries against England, and then didn't concede a try the following week. And okay, I know we're talking about the number one and number two sides in the world, but I've got no doubt that we can turn it around.
Absolutely. And your own experience as a player, when you've been leading Scotland, when you've been captaining them, and they found themselves at the back of the walls when you were there, does that give you an extra insight into how you go about in producing that turnaround?
I think it does, because you know how the players feel. And everyone is obviously gutted after what happened. But if you look at the squad that's playing this week, it's almost an entirely new squad. So there's a lot of fresh guys, a lot of guys there wanting to right some wrongs from the previous week. And we're back at home, and we're a different beast at home. We need to fix our away form, but our first chance to play again and to make amends is at home on Saturday. And I've got no doubt the boys will be firing into it.
At away form, though, you mentioned that there it is an issue. And the problem, it seems to me, is that the game that is really going to be one of the big focuses out in Japan is going to be against Japan, the host city. It's going to be one of the few games where a team is very, very definitely playing away rather than playing in neutral territory. Does this sort of hang around with the away form? Does it worry you at all?
I don't think so. We know it's going to be an incredibly tough match, and we will be the away team clearly in that game, but we'll have played three previous matches in that country, so it's not as if we're flying in and only playing one game. We've also had a number of pretty good away performances over the last few years, so Australia away and games like that, so we know in general we need to improve away from home, but as of now, all we're concentrating on is the game against France on Saturday and putting in a performance that ultimately we can be proud of.
Just on a personal level, I mean, did you when you finished playing with Saracens, was it your idea that you were going to move straight into coaching, or did you expect to be doing other things first? And how did they come about, and then how did that transfer into getting involved with Scotland?
So basically, my last two or three seasons as a player, I coached with the Old Albanians in St Albans, and I coached the Navy. I was involved with them as well, because I always had this inkling I wanted to be a coach, but I thought, well, I need to gain experience, I need to try it, and I did that, and I loved it. And then my final season at Saracens as a player, I was offered a 50-50 role, so I was a player and also an academy coach, and for me it was a brilliant stepping stone, a brilliant year for me to transition into the coaching side of things. And when I retired playing, I could have carried on playing, so I'm fortunate I'm physically fit. I could have carried on for probably another season or two, but I've been offered a coaching role at one of the best clubs in the world, so I took it, and I'm very, very happy at Saracens. And then I asked Gregor if we could catch up, and he asked me if I'd be keen to come in and just help out a little bit and learn, and I did that, and it went well. I really enjoyed it. I think that Gregor felt as if I could add value to the group and to the coaching team, and so he then asked me to get involved with this.
And presumably the next stage is that you would hope that you would move into a sort of senior role with one or other of the teams and keep this going.
Yeah, I would love to. I would love to. Ultimately, I want to coach at the highest possible level I can, and that's my aim, is to do that. But I'm in no rush. I know you're in the coaching game a long time, and I think with the range of experiences I've got now, I think I'm very fortunate to have all these and to learn. So obviously to learn from Scotland is great, and to learn from Gregor and from Tatsy and from Danny Wilson and Mike Blair, it's been really good there, but also at Saracens, and to be at a club that has had a fair bit of success, and we've got some great senior coaches that are more than happy to help myself and all of the other young coaches learn and to move forward in the game.
And finally, I think for me at the moment that you've mentioned a few times being at Saracens, the most successful club in Europe at the moment. Do you think you could bring some of that stardust with you from Saracens to Scotland? You know, that ability to win games even when you're not playing particularly well?
Yeah, definitely something we've been working on in Scotland. We're striving hard to really get that consistency and to get that that ability to grind out matches when we're maybe not playing well, and that's something that we're working hard on, and we will get there.
We'll get there in the end. All thanks to your help, obviously.
I'm a very, very small piece of jigsaw, but I'm enjoying it, and I'm learning all of the time as well.
Kelly Brown there talking about his experiences and all the rest of it. Now, one thing I did talk about earlier was, if you recall, that I was talking about Duncan Taylor and how good it was that he came into the side and managed to come through a full 47 minutes unscathed, one of the few positives to come out of the game at the weekend. Now, Duncan Taylor has been through the ringer in the recent times. He's had a lot to worry about. He's had all sorts of injuries to just about every part of his body, his knees, his arms, his shoulder, his back, everything, and including, of course, a long layoff with concussion. So when I caught up with him, the first thing to do was to start talking about running through some of the problems he's had.
The first year, you know, I was sort of in and out of injuries, had various different things going on that first year. Then this last year was just a bit of a freak incident in one of the A-League games. I was coming back playing for the first time in a few months. I haven't had a back problems, and just did a few ligaments in my knee that obviously kept me out for 9 months or so, which was the whole season. So just been cracking on with rehab, trying to be as fit and as strong as possible coming back, and staying on top of all previous injuries as well, which has proven quite difficult to stay on top of. But just been working hard to get myself in the best position possible. You know, you go through your ups and downs, and it just pays dividends to who you have around you. You know, your family and your friends and all the guys that we've had, support staff, and the guys at Saracens have been amazing. The guys here as well have been amazing. So I'm just thankful to have all those people around me.
Was it, in a funny sort of way, easier to handle the knee injury than the head injury? Because at least you knew it was a set amount of time, there was an end to it. With a head injury, you didn't know what was going to happen at the end.
Yeah, those are really challenging times, I think, for anyone. A lot of guys have gone through it now with the head stuff and concussion problems and whatnot. And exactly that, the unknown of when you're actually going to feel well again, when you're going to feel normal. Rugby just takes a back step because you don't even know if you're ever going to play rugby again at that point. So it's just about trying to actually feel good in day-to-day life. So that was very challenging in its own way, and probably more challenging, to be fair, than a knee injury where I've got a set period of time where I'm coming home.
How did you keep yourself buoyant during that period?
Again, a lot of close friends and family and the club and stuff were great to me. And, you know, there was no rush or anything to come back, and I was given the best care possible, that we were going in to see specialists left, right and centre to try and get to the bottom of what was going on, and just trying as many things as we could really, throwing the kitchen sink at it to try and sort it all out. But it was it was obviously a tough time, and like I said, a few of the guys have gone through that, and everyone can relate to it who has gone through it. I was waking up every day with a headache, and not just headaches, like visual problems as well. I was sort of, my vision was very cloudy, and I couldn't concentrate on anything, couldn't watch television, couldn't be on my phone for too long, couldn't read, couldn't just anything that you tried to do was just making your headaches worse, and it was migraine problems that I was getting, so it was just giving me a migraine, and the only thing that would help really was just switching off and going for sleeps and sitting in dark rooms really. So it wasn't the best period of time, and it took quite a while to get out of that. You know, I've had problems in the past with head problems that have sort of gone away within a week, within 2 weeks. So you just think, you know, 3-4 weeks down the line, you're sort of like, right, this is going to go next week. And then I think it was about 6-7 weeks down the line, you start thinking, is this ever going to go? We've chucked the kitchen sink out of them, running out of answers here. And, you know, that 6-week to 2-month period when you're still out and you're trying to get back, that's the toughest part, I think.
Duncan Taylor there talking about his issues with concussion, which of course were then followed by a knee problem. And so it was great to see him back on the field out in Nice. Now, to talk about this and other things, I have on the line Mark Palmer, who, as I think he has pointed out to his Twitter followers, has gallantly given up the opportunity to spend an extra half hour in the gym in order to talk to me. You flatter me. I'm extremely kind of you, Mark.
Well, good evening, Lewis, and I have to say it was absolutely devastating to have to cut that short in such a manner, so you owe me one.
Definitely. A beer out in Georgia, I think, is probably required.
Yes.
Just about one here, I don't know if you were listening in, but Duncan Taylor there talking about, in particular, his concussion. As he was saying, it's actually a more difficult one to get over, in the sense that when he had the knee injury, he knew how long he was out for. There was a target to aim at. Concussion, you don't know what's happening. But it's becoming a bigger and bigger issue in the game all round, not just in Scotland, but all over the world.
It is, and, you know, even in our own little part of the world, you've seen some pretty frightening testimony from Duncan, from Matt Scott, from John Bartway, from Fraser Brown, David Denton recently as well, that, you know, these symptoms that are, you know, you're able to pass tests, you're able to kind of, you know, your medics would look at you and say you were fit to play, but you know in yourself that you're not. Whether it be migraines or blurred vision or just kind of losing concentration, irritability, all these other things. And, you know, and as you say, Duncan was right through the ringer. And then the moment he got through, you know, 18 months of that, the knee injury as well. So he's lost the best part of 2 seasons, hadn't played for Scotland since the summer of 2017. So I think we were all kind of holding our breath a little bit. Gregor Townsend probably the most stressed in that regard over in Nice. But he got through, and more importantly, he also looked very good, both in attack and, well, primarily defence, because that's what he was having to do the most of. But great to see him there. And you've got to think, if he's remotely near match fitness, he will go and start in that first game against Ireland.
You talk about that game out in Nice. I think it is fair to say, given that both Gregor Townsend and Matt Taylor have come out this week and been talking about how some players are only going to get one chance, that there are one or two players who've possibly had that chance.
Yeah, and that was probably the hugely frustrating element, both for ourselves as viewers, but also for the coaches. And I imagine that's something they've probably been pointing out, both in team meetings and the one-to-one sort of debriefs that they do on the back of any game like that, that, you know, as you say, some guys were only going to get one chance. Some of them had a big opportunity to lay a marker first, start the first guys to get a shot this summer, and they simply didn't take that chance. So, you know, guys in positions where there's some really sort of marginal calls to be made, and a lot of guys aiming for the same sort of shirts, like the back row, even some of the front row positions, primarily loose head prop. You know, you wouldn't say Jamie Batty, Josh Strauss did themselves many favours. I felt a bit more sympathy for some of the guys behind the scrum, because there wasn't as much opportunity to show in attack. But again, Hugh Jones probably needed a bigger performance than he delivered. And suddenly, you know, it's the momentum potentially switches to the guys who have the opportunity this weekend. So, you'd have to say more people damaged their chances than enhanced them.
One player who did enhance his chance, I thought, was Jamie Ritchie. Do you think he is in with a realistic shout, given the pressure that there is on the back row?
Yeah, I think he is. And, you know, he keeps making himself relevant, which is to his credit. You know, he got his opportunity in the Six Nations through injury primarily, but really grabbed it. And you'd have to say that he was probably Scotland's most consistent forward in the Six Nations. You then have the return of guys like Watson, Barclay, Blade Thompson, finally available. Matt Fagerson had a great sort of end of season run. Sam Skinner's obviously made a strong claim for that 5/6 role. But Jamie, you know, although I would still say he might be up against it, he's making a very strong case and continues to do so. You know, particularly to be able to kind of perform so impressively when everything else around you is going wrong. The other back row guys didn't have their best games. John Bartley potentially, you know, suffering the ill effects of that terrible clear out that he got early on. But you know, for Jamie Ritchie to come through so strongly in that kind of context reflects really well. And I think, you know, it will... you know, when backs are against walls in Japan, that's probably the sort of guy that you want out there.
Yeah, so because you need somebody who's a worker, and of course that's one thing nobody's ever criticised Jamie Ritchie for. His work rate is right up there with the best of them. But what do you think, on the whole, this team are looking for this weekend, apart from a bounce-back win?
Well, I mean, you know, everyone's always at pains to say that the result doesn't, you know, isn't foremost in these warm-up matches, that it's all about combinations, giving people an opportunity, going through systems. But actually, on the back of such a drubbing last weekend, Scotland can't afford to have another defeat, or certainly not another bad defeat. At the very least, you're looking for a strong, much better performance against the French team, which itself has probably been strengthened since last weekend, because don't forget that was their first game as well, their first run out. You know, they're traditionally not one of the, or not regarded as one of the better conditioned teams. So a lot of these caveats that we were tucking in last weekend are not going to apply this time round. You know, obviously Gregor has loaded the team with a lot more experience. Guys like Tommy Seymour and Maitland coming back in, the two halfbacks. Real interesting combinations again, you know, particularly at centre, where you've got Pete Horn and Chris Harris given an opportunity, with Duncan Taylor, Sam Johnson having, you know, probably the strongest claims at the moment. Again, you've got a situation where the number of bodies sort of competing for these shirts is a lot bigger than the number of places available in the 31-man final squad. So those two need a big game. Then in the second row, you've got Scott Cummings and Sam Skinner, another sort of new combination. Scott Cummings, like Ferguson, had made a really kind of great late run towards the end of the season last year with Glasgow. Offers that ball-carrying option as well, which we've talked about a lot. And then, you know, the one I'm most excited about seeing is probably Wade Thompson, who we've been waiting a long time to see since last November. We had that unfortunate concussion which pretty much wrecked the season thereafter. But, you know, a guy who's got that carrying ability in both sort of tight and narrow and wider channels, but also, you know, a bit of grunt about him and really good soft hands too. So you'd like to think, you know, that that's a pretty winning combination. So he's got a really good chance if he shows up well this weekend.
But when you talk about experience, there's a lot of experience behind the scrum, but only Chris Harris hasn't got 40-plus caps, but it's a much less experienced pack. You've got George Turner, who is still relatively new, Sam Skinner, Scott Cummings, Sam with 5 caps, Scott Cummings, who's only played 20 minutes off the bench last week. You've got, as you say, Blade Thompson making his debut in the back row. It's a much, much less experienced pack. Are they up to the job this week, do you think?
They're going to have to be, because frankly, Scotland got bullied last week, not for the first time, lost the physical stakes comprehensively, which unfortunately has been a bit of a regular feature, even amongst all these kind of fantastic home performances that we've seen over the last number of years. France have probably strengthened again in terms of, you know, Couturier's come back into the back row, formidable unit there, and they'll fancy their chances of turning the screw sort of in the set piece, and also kind of at the breakdown as well, where they got so much quick ball at the weekend. So the long and the short of it is that Scottish pack is just going to have to stand up, because otherwise we could be in for another long afternoon.
And just finally, because we're pretty much out of time, I'm afraid, that do you have any sort of prediction for the game, any expectations, or is it just another suck it and see?
I think Scotland will probably win relatively narrowly. You know, the home form has been good over the last couple of years for the most part, and they really need it, because the last thing you want is to go into Georgia on the back of 2 defeats. You know, there's an ambush ready and waiting in Tbilisi. It's a huge game for them. It's going to be warm. You have a massive crowd there. So the last thing Scotland need is for this sort of negative momentum to continue. They really have to pick it up on Saturday, and as I say, at the very least, put in a much better performance than they did in Nice.
Mark Palmer, Sunday Times, they let you get back to your work in the gym or a beer to reward yourself, whichever you prefer. Thank you very much.
Thank
indeed.
You.
That was Mark Palmer from the Sunday Times, and I'm afraid that means the clock has beaten us. It's time for me to go. See you next week.
Love music. Live sport. The Lineout with Lewis Stewart on Rock Sport Radio.